Greetings, everyone. To our guests who are joining us tonight, we thank you for your presence. We thank you for making the time to be here with us tonight. To our brothers and sisters as well, it is always my joy to reunite so that we can together worship our God in spirit and in truth, and to be able to learn from another portion of our God's Word. So thank you all for being here tonight. If you will, please bow with me as we begin with a word of prayer. Our beloved Father and our King, hallowed be thy name. Father, we approach thy throne of grace with reverence, with joy, but above all with thanksgiving. Father, we are grateful that we were able to open our eyes on this side of life, that we, Father, have the health and the strength to come together, Father, once again today, so that together, Father, we may set our minds on things above us, so that together, Father, we can strive toward, Father, that heavenly promised land, and that everything that we do in word or in deed may always be done so, Father, in accordance to thy Son's will. Father, as we now study this portion of thy word, please be with this thy servant. Allow me, Father, to speak in accordance to thy will. Allow me, Father, to share that which I've been able to glean, and for those, Father, who are listening, that they may diligently search thy scriptures to see if indeed your word is being taught correctly in accordance to how you have given it to us. For our brothers and sisters, Father, who are currently sick or battling illnesses, Father, that are unable to join us because of that, be with each and every one of them. Father, if it be your will, place your hand upon them and heal them. Allow those medicines, allow those nurses and doctors, Lord, that are tending to them to be able to restore their health so that they can return to us, Father, once again, and together we can worship thee with joy and with gladness. We thank you, Father, once again for these blessings, and forgive us for when we have sinned against you. For we pray in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. This morning we spoke about the example of Tabitha, and how she, even though we don't know whether she was married or if she had any children, what we learn from her simply as a disciple is something that every one of us as Christians can imitate today. Tonight, we focus on the other set of people who, without a doubt, were able to help forge Moses as a man. You see, there's a saying that I truly believe, especially when it applies to the church. It takes a village to raise a child. In the case of Moses, we see this to be the case. In the case of Moses, it is very typical for us to think about his mother, Jochebed, and then, of course, his adoptive mother, the princess of Egypt, the Pharaoh's daughter. But there was, of course, also another woman present in the life of Moses that contributed to him becoming the deliverer of Israel. Another woman that, had she not been present when she was, very likely Moses would have never been reunited with his mother. But again, the reason why we're taking from this, if you remember Romans chapter 15, verse 4, is because we can learn from our past. Is because we can take from these examples and we can see that God has always had a role for our sisters in his kingdom. That God was never ever just having them as an afterthought, nor were they just made or created for the exclusive service of men. Although, yes, women were created as a helpmeet, pay attention to the fact that this is not the first time where we see women forge mighty men in the service of our God. You know, when I read this and I studied this, of course, it was undeniably related to Timothy, a man who was given his faith by both his mother and grandmother, a man who the influence of his female counterparts, especially as they served Christ, were able to make the apprentice who would then Paul say to the Philippians, none was more like-minded like him. But when we study this, please turn to the book of Exodus. And I do want to mention this because it's interesting that this subject, this material that I have, although yes, I studied it and I reviewed it, it was not alone. But rather, I, with her permission, was able to use some of those notes written by my sister-in-law, someone whom I deem as a faithful Christian, someone whom I deem as an example who, when we have spiritual conversations, I am blessed that I always learn something from her. And as we discussed this subject that just so happened was going to be the same one that she was going to be teaching, but a week ago, I asked for permission to use some of her material so that we can give an example of what a sister, a mighty faithful sister in Christ, can still do as a contribution to the growth of the Lord's church. But if you go to Exodus chapter 2, in Exodus chapter 2, we read the story that you and I just heard from the mouth of Stephen. And I want us to see, of course, these three women that were instrumental and how they helped forge Moses. And I want us to see it so that today we can make an application of how today this can also still be true. And I want to make the point that in the Pharaoh's daughter, we're going to see the same thing as Tabitha, but we'll get into that. Go to chapter 2, verses 1 and forward. The Bible reads, we'll read there to verse 4. And a man of the house of Levi went and took as a wife a daughter of Levi. So the woman conceived and bore a son. And when she saw that he was beautiful, that he was a beautiful child, she hid him 3 months. But when she could no longer hide him, she took an ark of bulrushes for him, dabbed it with asphalt and pitch, put the child in it, and laid it in the reeds by the river's bank. So let's read up to that verse right there, verse 3. When we look at Pharaoh and at Moses' mother, notice the faith that this woman had. The Bible says there in the book of Hebrews chapter 11 that by faith, Moses' parents, they saw that he was a beautiful child. A lot is discussed as to what is that referring to. There are some scholars who believe that the beauty that they saw in Moses wasn't necessarily a physical beauty, but rather that what they had seen, right, is as a child who had, as a parent, excuse me, who had compassion upon their child. A parent who could not put it in their hearts to follow and comply with the law that was written at that time. You see, there in chapter 11 of Hebrews, the inspired writer tells us that the reason they had this faith was because they were defiant to Pharaoh's commandment. They had the faith and the strength to go against a commandment that required them to turn over their child, to have their child killed by the soldiers of Egypt or by an Egyptian that might have wanted to do such a deed. And yet, Jochebed, says the Bible here in Exodus chapter 2, she found the strength in hiding her child. She had the faith that God would be with her child. But this is an amazing feat because, again, this reminds me of what Paul told Timothy in regards to Eunice and Lois. You see, Paul told Timothy there in 2 Timothy chapter 1 that he knew that his faith was genuine. He knew that the faith that he had possessed was his own and that it was genuine. And then Paul says, as it was also in your mother Lois and your grandmother Eunice. Notice, brethren, if you will now turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11. Notice what Moses was able to get from his mother. Notice what Jochebed was able to provide for her son. There, as we see there in chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, and we're going to read there at verse 23 through 26. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 23 through 26. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child and they were not afraid of the king's command. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. Now pay attention to the fact that verse 23, we hear about the faith of Moses' parents. We see in Exodus chapter 2 that it was the faith of his mother. The faith that she had that even though he would be in that dangerous Nile, those waters that were filled with hippopotamus, those waters that were filled with snakes and alligators and crocodiles, and even those waters along with their strong currents and all so many other dangers, a 3-month baby who without a doubt would have begun to cry, for this is how Pharaoh's daughter hurt him. He could have been caught. He could have been heard by one of those soldiers. And yet Jochebed had that faith in Jehovah God that he would care and protect her child. Jochebed had that strength and that conviction that there was something valuable about Moses. She could see something that made him special, something that made him someone worth dying for. But then we read about Moses. When he became of age, the choices that he made. Notice how similar to his mother's choices they were. He esteemed the sufferings of Christ, he esteemed the reproach of Christ greater than the riches of Egypt. You see, Jochebed esteemed taking the punishment from the Egyptian soldiers. She esteemed being slain by the Pharaoh's agents rather than slaying her son herself. She believed that going against the king's order was worth the while if it meant saving her son. She trusted in God. She trusted and had the conviction that what she was doing was right in the eyes of God, no matter what kind of ire she would then suffer by the hand of Pharaoh. You see, Moses rejecting his title of being a prince of Egypt was not something that Pharaoh would take lightly. It was not something that Pharaoh would have been grateful with or he would have been understanding of. You see, Pharaoh would have been insulted by this because here is this man who was gifted a great honor and a great privilege. Who do you think you are, Moses, to refuse our crown to be a slave? Who do you think you are, Moses, to put more confidence in the God of the Hebrews who has them in chains than the gods of Egypt who has placed us over them? It would have been an insult, brethren. It would have been offensive. But what helped Moses make this decision? What gave Moses the strength to forsake Egypt so that he could then be a slave along with his people in Israel? Well, the Bible begins by saying, by faith. A faith that was genuine in Moses. A faith that no doubt he had learned from his mother. Now, you remember in chapter 2 of Exodus, after Miriam goes to Pharaoh's daughter and asks if she should go get one of the Hebrew women to nurse the child, she goes and she brings her mother. She reunites Moses with his mom. Do you really want to believe that Jochebed did not tell Moses about his origin? Do you really want to believe that Jochebed didn't teach Moses in the ways of Jehovah God? Notice the faith, how it is being mirrored, and how they are equal to one another. The same God that Jochebed trusted in was the same God that Moses chose, refusing and rejecting the gods of Egypt. It was the same God and the same conviction that Moses had in choosing to suffer whatever it was. He found boldness in telling the king, I am no longer your grandchild. He learned this from his mother. He took this from his parents. Jochebed was instrumental in her example by teaching Moses about the Lord God of Israel. She was instrumental in teaching Moses about who he was truly a family of. When we look at this, friends, notice that our mothers who are faithful, our mothers who are spiritual, can mold us and help us find our own faith. They can give us the strength through their example, through their boldness. Not being afraid of the king's command, says Scripture. Their faith is demonstrated in the fact that they were more fearful of God than they were of man. To know, brethren, that when we have a woman like that in our lives, at a young age, it is truly, truly amazing when we seek to imitate that faith. You know, there are some mighty Christians, even here at Southeast, who didn't have this blessing. But the amazing part is that even though they did not grow up with those kinds of example in their lives, they became that example to their children. You know, we talked about Tabitha, how she never allowed her limitations to stop her from doing what she could to tend to the widows there at Joppa. Notice that Jochebed was a slave. Not only was she a slave, she was a female slave. Talk about a woman that had the deck stacked against her. And yet this woman preserved the deliverer of Israel. If it weren't for her boldness, if it weren't for her tenacity, if it weren't for her ingenuity in how to save this young child, but also if it wasn't for her strength and courage to let go of her son, because she knew that this was the only way he could live. To let him go, no matter how difficult, no matter how painful it was for a mother. Keep in mind, for 3 months, she hid Moses. This was not easy for her to do. To let her son go. As she made that cradle out of bulrushes and asphalt. To place her child that she clearly loved. But knowing and having the conviction, this is how you survive, my child. I have to let you go so that you may live. Moses' brethren grew up hearing about that faith. Moses was taught from his mother about Jehovah, God of Israel. Moses, Aaron, and Miriam, her three children, all learned about this same God. What a testament to the type of mother that she was, that Moses was a deliverer of Israel and Aaron was the first high priest of Israel. This from a woman who placed her entire conviction in trusting the Lord God of heaven and earth to protect her child from the death of a cruel and unjust king. But then let's go back. Let's go back to Exodus chapter 2. And let's read now verse 5 and verse 8. Then the daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the river, and her maidens walked along the riverside, and when she saw the ark among the reeds, she sent her maid to get it. And when she opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the baby wept. So she had compassion on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrew children." Then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call a nurse for you from the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for you?" And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." So the maiden went and called the child's mother. Here we have a woman who was neither married, nor was she a biological mother. And notice how she contributed to the man who Moses came to be. The Bible teaches us that Pharaoh's daughter had compassion on the child. You see, she was royalty. She was placing her father in a very difficult spot by not following his own royal edict, wasn't she? She was going against her father, showing rebellion, and perhaps because there is always political enemies, that would have given those political enemies what they wanted to be able to oust this man from the throne. She was giving them some kind of weaponry that they could have used against him because she had compassion on the child that she was supposed to kill. You see, if Pharaoh's daughter was cruel, what she would have done is she would have drowned Moses right then and there. She would have pushed the ark into the river and allowed the baby to die. But instead, the Bible says that when she opened it and she saw the child, the baby wept. Hearing the tears coming from the weeping of Moses as a child, Pharaoh's daughter heeded those cries. She had mercy on him. He softened her heart. And in that moment, although she was not married, according to what we understand, nor did she have any of her own biological children, a mother was born. Notice how Pharaoh's daughter became a mother in the very similar way as Jochebed did. She took this child from the hands of death. She put her life on the line just like Jochebed had. And although we don't read that she did it by faith, we do read that she did it by compassion. That love and that tender mercy that she had toward this child made her in that moment a mother more than any Egyptian woman would have been. When Miriam, verse 7, offers to bring one of the Hebrew women to nurse this child, notice that like Jochebed, Pharaoh's daughter had to let the child go. She had to do what was best for the child. She had to do what he needed most for the child. She had to trust that this Hebrew slave that would be nursing her now adoptive son would not try to run away with him or would not give her away or try to extort her because of what she was doing. No, instead, she trusted that this was what was best for Moses, that this was what was necessary in order for Moses to become a mighty king of Egypt one day. Verse 9 says that she adopted him. She gave him his lineage. She gave him his name. She gave him an inheritance that with Jochebed he did not have. When we turn to Acts chapter 7, we see one of the most amazing things that we can learn about what this woman did as she contributed to who Moses became. Acts chapter 7, and we're going to read verse 21 and verse 22 only. Acts chapter 7, verse 21 and verse 22. But when he was set out, Pharaoh's daughter took him away and brought him up as her own son. And Moses was learned in all the wisdom of Egyptians and was mighty in words and deeds. Brethren, do you know that the five books of the law, we have them because of what Pharaoh's daughters did? Had she not taken Moses and brought him up as her own, had she not adopted Moses, Moses would have very likely been slain by those soldiers. He would have been drowned in the River Nile. He would not have been trained, says verse 23. In all of the science or in all the ways in the wisdom of the Egyptians. You see, Moses knew how to write. And this is why many biblical scholars agree that the book of Genesis was indeed written by Moses. Moses, thousands of years later, was able to put on paper the oral history of creation, the oral history of the Hebrews. He was able to write about Joseph's time in Egypt. He was able to write about Abraham. He was able to write about Jacob and his 12 sons. This would not have been possible had it not been for Pharaoh's daughter, who brought him up in her home as an Egyptian. You know, we can assume that perhaps she did eventually get married and that she did have other royal children. But even though that was the case, Moses was still her son. She did not show favoritism toward the biological children over the adopted one. She favored Moses just as much as she favored her other children, if that was the case. Because Stephen in Acts chapter 7 tells us that Moses was given all of the wisdom that he needed. He was given the education. He was given the right to the throne of Egypt. Pay attention again, Hebrews 11, Moses rejected the throne. This tells us then that Pharaoh's daughter convinced her father. She convinced her father to let her keep this child. She had that difficult conversation on his behalf. But she did not treat Moses any differently because he was not Egyptian. She did not look down on him because he was not her blood. She did not treat him with disdain because he was born a slave. You know, it's incredible when we think about Pharaoh's daughter and how, in a way, she can be paralleled with God himself. Because from the waters, she pulled out a slave and let him be a king and a priest. Brethren, Moses' adopted mother contributed to us having the revelation of the book of Genesis. Contributed to us having those books that were written from Exodus to Deuteronomy. She contributed in Moses being powerful in word, as Stephen says, to be able to deal with Pharaoh himself, to be able to lead the people of God, to be able to guide them into the wilderness and eventually prepare Joshua so that he then could go into the promised land and conquer it. She had a hand in that. In what Jochebed could not do for her son, Pharaoh's daughter could. And she did. You see, brethren, again, it takes a village to raise a child. I remember many times when I wasn't willing to listen to my parents. My mom and my dad, they were very close with many faithful spiritual Christians within the congregation where I belonged. And many times, one of those sisters would be the ones, and somehow it's always that nurturing demeanor of a woman, right? Sisters, that powerful gift that you've been given by God to be that compassionate, nurturing, tender woman. We've seen this in the book of Proverbs, how it is that a mother will never give up on her child. But women always have that tendency to be able to come with more gentleness, with more kindness, with more compassion. Yes, even you, Lucy. Hard to believe, but even you. But notice that in Pharaoh's daughter, we learn that we can be parents even if we are not biologically parents. That we can supply, that we can provide in areas where perhaps a child's parent is lacking. Where we can give and mold and help contribute to helping them become mighty Christians. To help mold not only their faith, but also to give them the tools that they need so that they can be brought up and learned in all of the wisdom of God. You know, the Bible teaches us that in the multitude of counselors, the people will not fall. This is absolutely true when a child of God is raised among many wise spiritual men and women of the church. You know, I'm privileged and honored to say that that was my upbringing. I have the honor to say that I grew up among spiritual men and women. My mom and my dad always made it a point that my brother and I would be surrounded by wise men and women. And they were given the permission to pull our ears. And believe me, there's a reason I have no earlobes. But they were given that permission. They were allowed to bring us up in the way of the Lord. They were allowed to help and assist and aid when it came to teaching us what the righteousness of God looks like, of what the righteousness of God is powerful and mighty and able to do. Moses was learned, says Scripture, in the wisdom of Egypt, in all the wisdom of Egypt. What Jochebed could not provide because she was limited by her chains as a slave, Pharaoh's daughter was able to do so. She was able to complement because she was not a slave, but rather she was royalty. She took this child, she adopted him, and she gave him the tools that he needed so that he could then be a deliverer of Israel. But as we go back to Exodus chapter 2, remember how I mentioned that there's actually three women. In Exodus chapter 2, we'll read verse 4 and only verse 4. And his sisters stood afar off to know what would be done to him. Miriam, brethren, contributed to Moses. To prove this, go with me now to Exodus chapter 15. Notice what we learn there in Exodus chapter 15. In Exodus chapter 15, here what we find, and we're not going to read it because of our time, we find what is known as the Song of Moses and Miriam. You see, Miriam contributed to writing this song with Moses, where it speaks about the deliverance of Israel from the hands of the Egyptians. Miriam, brethren, was always a presence in the life of Moses, and she always had some kind of influence over him. It is clear from her disapproval of Moses' choice in marriage that she had some kind of zeal for her brother. And although she murmured and she was plagued with leprosy, we see that her reasoning came from her protective nature of her brother. You see, Miriam was to Moses what Cain was not to Abel. Miriam was her brother's keeper. Miriam watched afar off to see what would happen to the child. Now pay attention to the fact that Miriam, like Jochebed, Miriam, like Pharaoh's daughter, risked her life by standing on the side of the riverbank of the Nile, by walking from a distance and watching that ark made of bulrushes and reeds, and by watching closely to see, ready to jump into the Nile if she needed to, not caring about those dangerous creatures, or even more dangerous, those Egyptian soldiers. All three women who had a hand in helping Moses become the man that he became, all of them were willing and ready to risk their lives for him. They were willing to put aside their own well-being. They were willing to put their health on the line just to ensure that this three-month-old baby would arrive safely to the destination where it was that he needed to go. Miriam was her brother's keeper. When Pharaoh's daughter finds her, Miriam does not panic, but instead she's quick on her feet. She's very astute and she goes boldly to Pharaoh's daughter. And she's the one who proposes, "Shall I go and bring one of the Hebrew women so that they may nurse the child?" She goes back to her mother. She brings joy to her mother to let her know Moses is safe. And of all the people that could have found him, no one better found him than Pharaoh's own daughter. "And she sent me, Mom, to bring you so that you can continue to nurse your son." Like Tabitha, Miriam was able to reunite a mother and son. She was able to bring an ailing mother back with her weeping child. You see, brethren, from Miriam, we learn how to be our brother's keeper. We learn that sometimes we have to be at a distance watching, and we have to allow that ark to continue on those tumultuous waters of the current of the river. But we have to always be ready to move the moment the time requires it. We have to be ready, as Jesus said, to put our lives on the line for our brethren, to put our lives on the line for our friends. We have to put aside our selfishness and must not look to our own well-being as an excuse to not protect and guard the life of our brothers. Miriam, brethren, was her brother's keeper. She was her mother's comforter. She was Pharaoh, her master's encourager, counselor. Would have known we can learn this much from Miriam at such a young age. She guarded her brother, she comforted her mother, and she advised her master. She was a well-rounded, faithful servant of God. But like Tabitha, Miriam was neither a mother, nor was she a wife at that point in time. And yet, she contributed to forging the deliverer of Israel, the lawgiver himself, the one whom God would use as his servant to break the chains of bondage from Egypt. To end our lesson tonight, turn with me now to Titus chapter 2. In Titus chapter 2, notice what we read there, beginning at verse 1, going to verse 8. "But as for you, speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine, that the older men be sober, reverent, temperate, sound in faith, in love, in patience, The elder women likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given too much wine, teachers of good things. That they admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. Likewise, exhort the young men to be sober-minded in all things, showing yourself to be a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing integrity, reverence, incorruptibility, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that one who is an opponent may be ashamed, having nothing evil to say of you. Here we have Jochebed. Here we have Pharaoh's daughter. And here we have Moses' sister, Miriam. They contributed. They each were able to give where they were able to. Where Pharaoh's daughter could not nurse Moses, Jochebed did. Where Miriam could not protect her brother, Jochebed did, and so did Pharaoh's daughter. But in working together, they each played a part in helping make the man who Moses became. Today, brethren, we can adopt one another. Today, you and I, we can be each other's guardians. We can be our brother and our sister's keeper. We can be a mentor. We can be an adoptive father in the faith. You see, Paul was Timothy's father in the faith, as the Pharaoh's daughter was Moses' adopted mother. And for those who have children, you can be like Jochebed and by faith, except when someone else perhaps is better equipped than you are to help you in raising your teenage child. To help you in raising in a child that perhaps is strong-willed or perhaps is rebellious. Perhaps understanding that you need help and you need someone else to come in and supply where you are lacking. Like Jochebed, by faith, you have to allow Pharaoh's daughter to bring him up as his own. Today, brethren, we must understand we are the family of faith. You know, I didn't only have one mother, I have many. I have many fathers. I have many brothers and many sisters. And truthfully, and this is a true statement, and I'm going to dare say for all of us who love the church and are faithful members of it, I am much closer to my spiritual family than I am to my biological one. You see, that was the case of Moses. Moses was forged by love, by faith, and by compassion. He became a mighty deliverer of Israel because he had these three women in his lives. And today, sisters, you can still do the same. You can be a Jochebed to a young man or a young woman. You can be Pharaoh's daughter to a young man or a young woman. You can be a Miriam to a young man or a young woman. But know this, as 1 Corinthians 15:58 teaches, your work will not be in vain. Perhaps, friend, you are among us tonight. Perhaps you have need to become a child of God, and you have yet to obey the gospel through the waters of baptism. The Apostle Paul heard from Ananias, "Here is water, what hinders you from being baptized?" If you know, and you believe, and you understand that you are a sinner, and you understand that you need the blood of Christ, and you are ready to show those fruits worthy of repentance, if you know that you no longer want to resist God, well, today you can be taken out of the waters of baptism by Christ. And today you can rise from those waters of death into a newness of life and go from being a slave of sin to a king and priest of the kingdom of heaven. If you are subject to our invitation, we invite you to come forward as we stand and we sing.